But what a treat we've had with just the music this morning. Tremendous. I don't know if when I was a kid, if I would have been... They did a good job. They all stayed in one little place up here. This is pretty enticing up here. I remember, in fact, when I was a kid, all of the excitement around Christmas. Growing up in Nebraska, there was always plenty of snow at Christmas time, which made the mood just perfect. I loved to play outside until my hands and feet were so cold that I couldn't feel them anymore. Go inside and you warm them up. It was painful to put them in the water and get them all warmed back up. We would go sledding. We'd build snow forts. And I remember going out. We'd go out on the snowmobile after a snowstorm. Go out into the country where my cousins lived and visit them. It all seems like just kind of a dream, remembering all of these things that I did. The difficult thing about all of this excitement around Christmas time as a child is that somehow I was supposed to go to bed the night before Christmas. Just didn't know how that was supposed to work. It was impossible. In fact, I remember one Christmas when my brother and I woke up early in the morning. It must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning, because it seemed like forever for the rest of the family before they got up so that we could open up presents. And I have to admit, I did not realize when I was a kid how lucky I was with my parents always sacrificing so much for us during Christmas time, for my brothers, my sister, and myself. The thing about growing up in such a loving environment like the one that I had as a child was that, you know, you can come to expect that that's the way it's always going to be. Of course, we know what the reality is. We have not experienced true, unconditional love to its fullest and intended extent since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Since that time, God has had a plan to seek us out with a kind of love that begins to show us how communion with God was before the fall. Now, God chose such an interesting and unusual way to save the world. If you compare this to Hollywood films these days, there we find some type of superhero who has these incredible powers that can overcome any enemy to save the planet. However, there's usually lots and lots of destruction involved in that. God chose to place his son in the form of a newborn, dependent baby as a route to save the human race. When you consider it from human terms, it seems like a plan which would be destined for failure. But that is the thing about God's plans and his perspectives. It is not like ours. In fact, I would say that it's oftentimes just the opposite of ours. Today, I want us to explore both learning to receive God's love and learning to give God's love. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we'd ask for your Holy Spirit just to be with myself and the words that I would say, that your Spirit would prepare the hearts and the minds and have a message that's received by each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If we're going to discuss learning to receive God's love, we have to look at the greatest gift he has given us, and that takes us to what we just read, John 3:16, and we'll read 3:16 and 17. So if you'd like to turn with me, that would be great. We all know this verse. It's very common, but it's a foundation on which so much of what we experience is built. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, this seems like such a simple invitation. So why do we struggle with accepting the greatest gift of all time? Something must be standing in the way. Usually, it is because we think we know better. We think we know better. Now, to look at a great example of someone who thought they knew better than God about what was right for themselves, We are going to go to the book of Jonah today. So if you'd like to turn there with me, we'll be kind of walking through each chapter and looking at how this depicts some of the characteristics of God's love and how we respond to it. So what's happening in the book of Jonah? God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. So Jonah gets this command, and what does he do? He immediately takes off in the opposite direction, heading to Tarshish, thinking that somehow he can get away from what God has called him to do. We all know what happens next. God sends a violent storm on the sea, and eventually the sailors on the ship agree to throw Jonah overboard as they come to understand that he is a Hebrew and worships the Lord, the God of heaven. Now let's look specifically in Jonah chapter 1 at verses 15 through 17. Let's see what happens here. It says, "Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. The raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights." Now let's stop for a moment. In an odd twist, God takes Jonah's disobedience and finds a way, first of all, to bring these sailors into reverence of him, and then saves Jonah from certain death from the violent storm. Don't we serve a great God who takes even our disobedience and carries out his desires under those circumstances? So what we find is God's love is truly unconditional. You see, we can read about these stories and think it's a pretty amazing story about how God loves us, but the fact is God is showing each of us that same love that he showed Jonah. It's the same love that brought Jesus to us in the form of a baby. In my mind, looking at Jonah's prayer in the second chapter when he's inside the fish demonstrates perfectly the principle that God will go to whatever depths we sink in the mire of sin to bring us back to him. So look at in Jonah 2, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 just to see where Jonah's at when he calls out. It says, "The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." We simply cannot escape God's love, no matter how hard we may try. And conversely, there is no greatness we can attain, even by our own attempts at obedience, that does not still require the gift of God's love through his Son Jesus to save us. God has us covered with his love through all of the highs and all of the lows, which is good because oftentimes life is a roller coaster. It's not the same every day. Now let's go on and look at chapter 3 for one other facet of God's love. We now find Jonah in Nineveh as he has responded to God's second calling. He's proclaiming the message God gave to him. And Jonah proclaims, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now the amazing thing that happens is the Ninevites and their king listen to Jonah and turn from their ways, and they hope for God's compassion. Now, how many of us have been wronged and had someone come to us to ask for forgiveness? I can't say it happens all of the time, but there's been some times where that's happened. And if we think about those times, since our nature is similar to God's nature, in those situations, we want to forgive and make amends. And that is exactly what God does here. Look with me in Jonah 3, verse 10. Jonah 3, and verse 10. It says, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. You see, God loves us and wants to hear from us when we're in trouble. He loves a repentant heart. And communication with God does make a difference. Now, this is hard for me to grasp a hold of at times. The great Creator and God of the universe wants to hear from me. He loves me even in my total brokenness that has not fulfilled His desire, but focused on my own selfish ways, much like the Ninevites and much like Jonah. Now let's look into chapter 4 of Jonah and verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed wrong. This seemed very wrong, and he became angry. In chapter 4, we want to look at how we respond to God when He does great things for us. Are we like Jonah at times, in terms of how we show God respect and how we reciprocate our love for Him? Here Jonah has been saved from the clutches of death. He seems to repent as he follows through with God's command about going to Nineveh, but then he gets upset with God because God decides not to destroy the Ninevites. Jonah decides he is going to walk out on God again. Even though Jonah had received God's mercy, he does not want to see that mercy given to his enemies, the Ninevites. Are we like this at times? We want to receive God's special blessings and His love. But if He seems to be blessing someone else, we can become angry or jealous. That kind of reaction does not witness to others the love that He first showed to us by His grace and mercy. We have seen in Jonah how great God's love is for us. So where can we find instruction about how to share God's love with others? Let's flip to the New Testament and we'll go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll start verse 4. So 1 Corinthians 13, and starting in verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Now let's stop for a moment. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by such a lofty task as what's talked about here in 1 Corinthians. How am I supposed to love like that? Well, the fact of the matter is that I can't do it. You can't do it. In fact, none of us can do it without God and the help of the Holy Spirit. On a good day, we fall short, and on a bad day, we don't even come close. So we have to ask for help. We can help each other through prayer requests that we send, through maybe our communique, Renee gets out to us, through coming to prayer meeting, or even today, after the service, any one of the elders would love to pray with anyone in need. We can't love like this unless we come together and work together. We just don't have the strength on our own. I don't really know how to say it a lot better, so I'm going to share with you a short excerpt from the Acts of the Apostles. And this is from a section called A Faithful Witness, which is based on John. Ellen White says, Christ had bidden the first disciples love one another as He had loved them. Thus they were to bear testimony to the world that Christ had formed within the hope of glory. A new commandment I give unto you, He had said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, John 13:34. At the time when these words were spoken, the disciples could not understand them. But after they had witnessed the sufferings of Christ, after His crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, and after the Holy Spirit had rested on them at Pentecost, they had a clearer conception of the love of God and of the nature of that love which they must have for one another. Then John could say to his fellow disciples, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So just to recap and look at what we've learned about love as we've gone through this today. Number one, running from God is an impossibility, because God loves us so much that he will never give up the pursuit of our heart. Number two, God wants to forgive us. And number three, God loves us and wants to hear from us. And communicating with God regularly makes a difference. Number four, accept the gifts that God gives you, especially the greatest gift, Jesus. And five, learn to listen to God and be obedient despite what we think is best for ourselves. Now, these are easier said than done. But just like what we've talked about, with God and his Holy Spirit, these things are accomplishable each in and of themselves. So we've been given the greatest gift of love from God our Father, and we consider this during the Christmas season. As we move to a new year, let us take the love we have been shown and learn how to be obedient to God to share the love of Christ with those around us. Amen.